Shalom Aleichem, welcome in. We're back and we're going to begin a new parak, not only a new parak, but a whole new movement, a whole new thrust in Sefer Mesil Susham. We opened initially with a little bit of the life story of the Ramchal and with a recognition, as Ramchal writes explicitly in the introduction to Mesil Susham, the Sefer is meant to be a practical how-to guide. Unlike Derech Hashem or Das Tzunos, which are dedicated to understanding ideas and make you sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Mesil Susham is meant to be not Derech Hashem, not studying the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but primarily Mesil Susham. It's a path for us. It's a path for people to grow closer to Baruch Hu. It's not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business as much as it is about our business, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us and how we can best accomplish that. So this is really meant to be a practical, very practical how-to in order to set us up for success. Ramchal needed to lay out certain ideas, to understand in the Hakdama what that we need to study of Avos Hashem and what elements of Avos Hashem consists of. And he ended the introduction, the end of the Hakdama by telling us he's going to reorganize the contents of Avos Hashem into a practical system, a practical organizational scheme, a progressive step-by-step of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, which begins with Zihiris. He stepped away from that for the moment after finishing Hakdama before coming to Zihiris to spend time on Parakal, to spend time on Chavozan Ba'olamo, to understand where it is that we're heading, much as he writes in Lashon Limudim, that in order to effectively convey, teach a process, you need to first have a sense of what the goal is before you start with step one. So he conveyed the goal, conveyed the paradigm of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, to make sense of the world around us, to make sense of Nisyonos of our lives. That was the substance of the Parakalos. And now we're ready for step one. Step one is here in Parakes. We begin the Midah of Zihiris, the first in the list of the Midos of Pinchas ben Yair, the steps of Pinchas ben Yair. And as Ramchal indicated, the end of the Hakdama, because this is meant to be a practical Sefer, for each Midah he's going to go through four stages. He's going to tell us the basis, what the Midah is. Then I'll get into details, pratim of exactly unpacking the details and applications and facets of the Midah. Part three will be to talk about the tips and tricks, how one goes about the how-to, how one goes about being kona that Midah. And part four for each Midah is pitfalls and how to avoid them. So here we are, Prakam, Beis, Gimel, Talad, and Hey will be those four pieces of learning about Zihiris. The basic idea, Pratim, Darche HaKinyan, and Mafsidim, the need avoiding. So here we are, the very beginning of Parak Beis. What is the first question? What is Zihiris? This is the first step in a program of ambitious growth, a program of ambitious spiritual self-development. First step is Zihiris. What is Zihiris? Ramchal gives us a definition that first sounds a little bit circular. Ein HaZihiris, Hushiyah Adam Nizhar, the Ma'aseh V'Inyanav. It sounds at first, he does this time to time. So Ramchal sounds at first like a circular definition. Zihiris means to be Nizhar. It doesn't advance us much. But the truth is he really advances us somewhat, and then he follows up with a further definition. And this is a common style that he uses. Zihiris means, number one, Zihiris means to be Nizhar, the Ma'aseh V'Inyanav. In your ma'asim, your activities, and in your inyanim, your ideas, your themes. But what does that mean? He follows up right away. Kolomar, misbonein mesakech ha'mas v'drachav. To be zohir means to be misbonein mesakech ha'pakach. In Sahal, as an inspector. So we need to inspect ourselves to be misbonein mesakech. We need to take time to think. Misbonein is a very important word. The word that recurs throughout Mesil Susham and beyond. Means simply put, to carve out time to sit and think and put pieces together. To step off of the treadmill and spend time thinking about what? To self-reflect about my masim and drachim. I think what he's driving at with this pair of terms is specific actions, masim, and sort of the longer term, my derech, or where am I headed? Where am I headed? What trajectory am I on? Hatovimain, so to think both about the immediate and the big picture, Hatovimain, well, is it good? Am I making good decisions, making bad decisions? Am I in a good path? Am I heading in a good direction or not? Spend time to sit and think. So by taking our time to think about life, to self-reflect, I'm going to avoid just abandoning my neshama to the risk of just, you know, fluttering in the wind. The alternative to carving out time to sit and think is just to sort of go with the flow, just to act out of rote. Ki'iver ba'afela. That's like a blind man in the dark. That's an image that he draws from Chumash, Parshas Kisavo, and the Talchacha, the Chumash describes that. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi had a discussion about that. What do you mean, a blind man in the dark? Blind man, if the fellow can't see, so it doesn't really matter to him much, whether it's dark or light. So the explanation Gemara offers is that if I'm blind but there's light, so there's a chance that the blind fellow may not be able to see where he's going without a cane, but at least others can see that he needs help and assistance. But if he's a blind man in the dark, he can't help himself and no one else is going to help him either. It's really a pretty helpless situation. So that's what Rachel says here. A person is going to live life unexaminedly, to live life without contemplation. So what are the chances of success? We know that's true in a business context. You start a new venture, or you decide to, you run a store, even in retail, you run a store, you decide to start carrying a new line of products, and you're hoping that it's going to drive more business to your store. This is in Yadiyama, right? You're thinking about Black Friday, and you're thinking about deals that you think will drive more business. You're not just going to go through there and go through there. You're not just going to invest in this new line of stock, of merchandise, and then just do it and never check in to see how well it went. You might be too busy to check in. It's obviously very poor practice. Best practice is definitely you start something and you bring a new line into your store. So after 2 weeks, 4 weeks, however long, let's look at the books. Let's look at how things have trended. And let's see, did our investment pay off? Did not pay off? Should we continue? Should we invest more in this new line? Or should we pull back? Should we keep it steady? Let's see how things are progressing. To never examine the organized way, what sort of progress I'm making, that's just asking for trouble. And it says in paragraph days, if you're using the Sepharia edition, it says paragraph days, it's paragraph days. It's so rational. It's rationally so obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu equipped us. HaKadosh Baruch created us with fine minds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu equipped us with the mind that we need to save ourselves, sort of spiritual degradation from ruining, wasting our neshamas. You need the first step in spiritual self-preservation is to stop and think, to use the mind that Rabbi Shalom gave us. How could he just ignore that? He says, that's less, he goes on the next paragraph, to say, it's less, even animals can do that. To live an unexamined life, a non-reflective life, that's less than wild animals. Not that wild animals engage in active self-reflection, but wild animals do have other members of the animal kingdom. Do have a strong, healthy instinct for self-preservation. B'tivam, Ramchal writes in paragraph Gimel, B'tivam l'shmar sasma. Al kein yivrchu yanusim kamashi rolem heyosam azaklam. If they see something that looks like danger, they'll flee. They'll defend themselves. They'll flee. They will respond somehow. There's self-preservation. Going on to paragraph Dal, holech ba'olamo, human being is going to, it's a beautiful term, holech ba'olamo. So it's walking through his world. You're going to travel through life, believe his bonus in Tova Darko Ra, without carving out time to get off the treadmill from time to time to consider where am I going, and is it effective or not? Am I happy where I'm headed or not? Is this the right thing or the wrong thing? You're not using your instinct for spiritual self-preservation. He gives such a vivid image of what that's like, to live life without stopping to think, to consider whether I'm making good decisions or bad decisions, good goals, bad goals. Suma ha'holecha spas hanar. Imagine a blind fellow walking along the edge of the river. Or imagine a ridge trail. You're going hiking up in the mountains, you have a ridge, a narrow ridge along the side of the mountain, and you're hiking along the ridge. So if you can see where you're going, it could be wonderful. But if a blind fellow is going to go unattended on a ridge trail, or a blind fellow is going to go unattended along the edge of the river, I'm trying to picture that with mind. It's a frightening, frightening, frightening picture. The risk is immense. We're also chroming out to also. More likely, a bad outcome, a tragic outcome, is much more likely than making it through okay, than surviving. She says, we shouldn't do that. It strikes us as so obvious. Give the opportunity to open your eyes, you should. He says, but think about that blind fellow, and think about us. Are we like that blind fellow? Ulam chesan hashmira, b'nei ha'ivaron ha'tili, or b'nei ha'ivaron ha'ritzoni. So it doesn't matter whether it's natural blindness or willful blindness. Ivaron, Iver is a blind person. So Ivaron is blindness. Ivaron tivi is natural blindness. A fellow was born blind, or he was blinded medically. It's not a matter of choice. It's just the way it is. He does not have a sight. Versus someone who chooses to close his eyes. Ivaron ritzoni, willful blindness by choice. It's all the same. But I'm choosing to close my eyes at the time. I'm not seeing where I'm going. So if I have the opportunity to open my eyes and look, how can I not? Now, at this point, you might be saying to yourself, leading that non-contemplative life, that's a problem of this smartphone generation. I might be tempted to say, yeah, modern technology has wrought this. You never have a chance to sit and think, even if you're on a bus or sitting in the car. Perhaps in an idyllic yesteryear, you would have, looked out the window and had a chance to sit and think, and now there's constant low-level stimulation available at a handy screen. It may be true that smartphones give us another way to adults or children to act on this weakness that we have, to move through life without thinking, and if that's the case, one definitely needs to consider that in making decisions about equipping oneself or others with smartphones and other devices. But this problem is not a new problem. The problem of people moving through life in autopilot, it's thousands of years old. Here in paragraph 8, Yirmiyahu, ha'imisonena ro'a b'nei doro. So Yirmiyahu complains about this. Yirmiyahu is living well over 2,000 years ago, near the end of the Bayez Rishon period. Yirmiyahu is one of the Nevi'im, one of the greatest leaders that Klal Yisrael had before, during, and after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash by the Bavli. And Yirmiyahu tried for so many years to convince the Jewish people to do tshuva and to change their ways and save themselves, and they were convinced that they were invincible, they were convinced that Bavli wouldn't bother them. Yirmiyahu tried to tell them again and again, Jeremiah, that's to call them Jeremiah. If you don't change, you don't do tshuva, you're going to be lost. You're going to lose your sovereignty, you're going to lose Eretz Yisrael, you're going to lose the Beis HaMikdash, you got to do tshuva. People just ignored him for too long until it was too late. They're prakim Yirmiyahu of those sorts of nevuos. Now, Michal points out, when you read those prakim, one of the themes is this one. Yirmiyahu misonein al ro'a b'nei doro. Yirmiyahu complains about part of what's driving the evil of his contemporaries. They were stricken by this issue, Shemali's thoughtlessness. They just lived life without considering life. They didn't bother to focus on what they were doing, ask, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? To do, should it be done, should it be abandoned. And here's a passage that I quote, the eighth paragraph of Yirmiyahu. No one is rethinking themselves. No one is reconsidering. No one is ever regretting what they did. No one is ever changing course. Why? Again, such a vivid image. sus shotev milchama. A horse, literally, that's flowing. A horse that's coursing at war. Imagine a battlefield. Hard to even imagine. Imagine a walker's battlefield, noisy, frightening, there's blood. There's anger, there are raised voices, there's so much noise. And in the midst of it all, you have a man and a horse. And the horse is flying, galloping, full speed, just going. The horse is not doing long-term thinking. He's just going. He may be thinking right now, should I go right, left? Look, the path to the right is smooth. The path to the left is rocky. He might, be looking at what's immediately in front of his nose. But you don't have the headspace, and you're flying full force to say, look 100 yards down. Yeah, right at this moment, right over here, looks like the path to the right is smoother. But look 100 yards down the road. The path to the right ends in a bunch of brambles. The path to the left continues for miles. That's my path. Shushal Tefa Milchama doesn't see that. The horse is just flowing and running and running. There's no larger thought. He says, but we're like that, says Yirmiyahu. We're Zorein. We're just going with the flow. And Ohal goes on to explain the next paragraph. Road from Hochim, Ruth of Tagelam, the Dechen. Yirmiyahu's contemporaries were just, they were pursuing, they're just going and with their pursuits and their goals, and just had gotten into a groove.
The conference has been muted.
They've gotten to a groove, and there was no thought. But Vishay Nichus Man last month was Dakteka on Masa Madrachim. Here he adds a point. It didn't leave themselves a time to think. And then Vishay No from the Ra, Bali, Ra, Ososa. They never have the time to reflect, never have the time to do a self check-in. So they're going to end up living a few years a certain way, and then 50 years old, you say, what have I accomplished in my life? Never recognizing in real time what's going on. Says, if you would have taken, and then he goes on to say the following. Now, Chal goes on to say, we have to realize that this is the way we were built. Kadosh Baruch Hu built us with a tendency to get busy with stuff and not think about the bigger questions. Stephen Covey, in his Seven Habits, talks about things in our lives which are urgent versus the things in our lives which are important. If I haven't trained myself to not need to answer the phone every time it rings, when the phone is ringing, it has to be answered now, or else I'll miss the call. But the phone call is more urgent than other things on my desk, but it might not be more important. And the phone is ringing during supper. I have a chance to sit down for supper with the family, and the phone is ringing. Not any grave family issues, just the phone's ringing. There may be a natural reaction to just go for the phone. Phone's ringing. But honestly, how likely is it that taking that phone call is more important than what I'll miss by taking a name with the time with kids? But that's urgent versus important. We do it all the time. That's what Chal says. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu built us with this weakness. This is part of the technique, the toolkit of the Yetzirah. To just get us busy, continually, perhaps continually, just so busy with stuff. There's no space. That's the language uses, no revach, no space, no headspace to stop and to think and to consider what we're doing. We're just so busy doing it. You don't have time to consider what it is that we're doing. If we would actually focus, we take the time to consider our decision, and even in retrospect, to sit down once a week for 15 minutes and think about, decisions I made over the course of the past week and plan the course forward. Am I happy and not happy? Things that need to change. You have that built in, you have that sort of reflection. We would naturally begin to make changes. If you do this in a consistent way, it would build over time. The sense of regret for bad decisions and positive changes would build and build and build on itself. That's why this is such a powerful atzaske tzaham. Not thinking is such a basic path to chet and path to less meaning in our lives. That's why, as he's saying, the first step towards growth is to begin thinking. The first step towards growth is to become a zayin, is to begin to train ourselves to live life contemplatively, thoughtfully, reflectively. And let's close for now with the example that he gives. He says it was a figure in Tanakh, a figure in Chosh, who was very well aware of this aspect of human nature and attempted to use it to his own benefit. That person was none other than Paro. Paro Rasha, because the Jews began to think about liberty, think about bigger issues, think about leaving and dreaming of how their lives could be different, he says the solution is just make them so busy. They have to do more work, more time with the straw. They won't have time to think. They won't have time to plan. They won't have time to strategize. To just make them thoughtless zombies. Sometimes power does it to us. But it's what a shame when we do it to ourselves. What a shame when we do it to ourselves. He said the Yitzhara was in paradise itself. Ish mechamahu umalumad bar mimus. Yitzhara is wily. Yitzhara is very, very effective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built us in such a way. We're designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with certain natural weaknesses that tend us to do the wrong thing and to do the right thing. We're built such a way that to do the right thing takes work. To do the right thing is going to take sustained effort. The first avenue for that sustained effort, says Rav Chaim, is to train ourselves to think, to avoid the natural inclination, just get busy with stuff and never think. We need to train ourselves to be mizbonim, to be thoughtful, contemplative, reflective of people. Next time, Rachel will pick up. Paragimel is going to get us into details. This is sort of he's presenting the basic concepts of the year, so being a thoughtful person. Next time, we'll pick up with, in Paragimel, we'll see he's beginning to get into details. The end of Paragbeis, which is what we'll begin with next time, he actually presents an agarata on this topic, and as we'll see, Agatha is not only important for us to appreciate the heroes, but also to happens to be as well an incredible case study in how the Ramchal reads an Agatha, and we could train ourselves to read Agatha. I will close with the following observation. His bonus is not only the first of the steps, but the truth is it's also part of every step. As you move through Mazil's Sharm, you see that when he talks about the Rizos and the Kiyos and so forth, it talks about how to be kona, this midah and that midah. Almost invariably, one of the things you need to do to acquire the later midos is to be mizbonim, to spend time thinking, focusing, deliberating, or chewing over a particular idea. There's one idea that will help with the Rizos, a different idea that will help with the Kiyos. But there's always an idea or two that needs to be chewed over that becomes part of the growth for each midah. So it's to train oneself to carve out time to think and to focus on ideas. The heroes is going to play a critical role in all the subsequent steps of growth as well. I am glad to take questions.
The conference has been muted.